Welcome to our Correcting Errors in the EFL Classroom podcast. When and how to correct students' errors in the classroom is an issue of major concern for every teacher. What should we correct? When should we correct it? And how should it be corrected? These are important concepts because our students struggle with language, and if we correct them too often or in the wrong way, we inhibit their willingness to speak more. But if we never correct them, and you will meet students like this, you'll have a student who just speaks gibberish and can rattle on, and you won't have any idea what they're saying, or the pronunciation will be so bad you won't be able to understand them. So there's a need for providing correction in the classroom, and we need to make sure that that is part of the teacher's role, but we need to do it in a way that increases the motivation of the student, increases the accuracy of what they do, of how they speak, and to do it in a way that's supportive and not destructive. Research says there's some most effective ways to deal with errors when you're correcting your students. One of them is when you hear an error, speak the corrected statement. So if a student improperly uses grammar or mispronounces something, just repeat it back and see if they get it. Oftentimes they will. Your more advanced students will get that. Another thing to do is to listen for errors and make a general review of them at the end of the activity or at the end of the lesson. You can do this, especially works well with larger classes when you just don't have time or you don't want to be running around the classroom only making negative comments to the students all the time. But you can just kind of make a quick note and you can start putting things up on the board as you go through the class also, so a student doesn't feel like it's focused just at them. And then do a review, and you can even do some listen and repeat drill to help people make sure they understand. Another one is to encourage peer correction. Now, this is in the literature as an idea, and some people suggest it's one of the better things about pair work and working in small groups. I think it's a mixed blessing. Peer correction sometimes has a student with not so good grammar or not so good pronunciation correcting a student with better grammar and better pronunciation and giving them wrong or incorrect feedback. So when you do use that kind of correction, make sure you monitor what's going on in the classroom, and hopefully it's done in smaller groups. Another method is to correct the student personally, and you want to use this one less than the other methods. It's just more direct, but some students also will perceive it as being more negative. Now, one of the problems that teachers have to pay attention to is that there's a natural tension in the classroom between fluency and accuracy. You're going to meet students who are afraid to say anything because they don't want to get it wrong. They've been punished for saying things wrong, they've been punished for grammar mistakes, and sometimes they just come from really punitive school systems in countries where sometimes students are even beaten or hit if they make a mistake. So they want to be perfectly accurate. But what happens is when you strive for perfect accuracy, well, you don't do anything. The student just kind of shuts down and isn't able to communicate, or takes a long time to come out with a really useful functional statement, or maybe can't at all. The other side of that is fluency. So we've got the struggle between fluency and accuracy. And in fluency, you've got students who'll come up to you and they'll jabber away and you've got no idea what they said. Either their grammar is so poor, or the pronunciation is so bad, or both. Unfortunately, nobody ever corrected them, and so they might actually even be confident and feel like they really are communicating, but in fact, they aren't. How do we balance that? You know, you really have to watch your student, your individual students, if you're just tutoring someone, or even pay attention in your classroom. Back from college days, when I used to work with people who were mentally ill and had some serious behavior problems, they used to say, what you need to do is you have at least 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction. And I actually think that's a fairly good rule, is that for every 5 interactions in the classroom, if you have a negative interaction, 4 more need to be positive. So the teacher's role is to be as positive and as encouraging as possible and pay serious attention to that. Students have self-concept issues oftentimes and feel that their language usage is very poor, not adequate, filled with errors. And sometimes they are, but you still need to encourage them to communicate and talk. And that is the whole purpose of most conversation classes. So in a conversation class, especially in a verbal skills or oral skills class, we lean towards fluency rather than accuracy. So it's okay to let students talk away as long as it's not interfering with the actual message that they're trying to say. There's 2 or 3 areas where you need to make sure that you do correct. One is if that the mistake the student makes completely interferes with the listener understanding it. If the grammar is so bad or the pronunciation is so bad that it's just useless language, then you need to correct that. You also need to correct language that might produce stigma or create problems or cause listeners to quit listening. Students will sometimes pick up very bad slang, swear words that aren't inappropriate in a casual conversation. They'll pick up words that are racist or sexist that you may not want them to speak because they're going to turn off people when they're talking to them. You need to let them know those things as well. Very important to make sure they get that corrected. The last thing that's really important to make sure you correct is high frequency errors. So if a student makes a certain kind of error with great regularity, all you have to do is correct that one thing and all of a sudden many of their errors are gone. So it's useful to take a close look at errors that occur a lot, that occur frequently, and to attack those as best you can. Always in a positive manner, of course, and always model the correct behavior that you want. In this section of the course, make sure that you read the error correction and language improvement link on the bottom of the page at the website. There's some excellent material there for you to read and to do a little bit of thinking about as well. Review that material, and if there's anything that you don't understand or if you have any questions, and as always, if you see a problem on the website or just something you don't like or something that's not working correctly, make sure you let us know. Bye-bye.